I'm talking to Reverend Roosevelt Johnson. He's the pastor of the Evergreen Baptist Church here in Greenville, Mississippi, my hometown. How you doing, Reverend Johnson?
Brother Ishmael, I'm fine. And you?
Oh, just fine. Look, first tell us a little about your ministry here in Greenville. How long you been in the ministry? What your church tried to accomplish here in Greenville?
Well, I've been in the ministry ever since 1980 up until this point. I believe that would give us about 31 years. Mm-hmm. And I began my pastorate there at Evergreen in 1994 up until this present point.
Mm-hmm.
Our ministry is kind of unique ministry. We're not the traditional type ministry. We come in, we worship, and we go home, and we hire on outreach. We've already always had an outreach. I remember in the seminary, the question was asked, if your ministry move out of the community, what effect would it have on the community? So we have always tried to have a ministry that if we moved out, that it would leave a hurting effect on the community, because we have outreach such as clothing giveaway that we've been doing over the past 10 years. Periodically, we give away food. We just believe in coming outside of the walls, trying to reach and help the hurting and the lost people that is around in the community.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we do with the drama stage Qumran up in Los Angeles also is we got a program called DCOP, which is Drama Stage Community Outreach Program. And we pass out hygiene kits and clothes with the goal of networking community members with the homeless so they have a chance to talk to them, assess their needs, and all that kind of stuff. Now, let me ask you this also. What's the situation with the homeless here in Greenville, Mississippi?
Well, here in Greenville, and probably throughout the whole United States, homeless have different faces that they have in time past. When you think about a homeless person, you thought about a person that probably had dirty clothes, that probably had some kind of mental disability or such. But nowadays, you have people that had good jobs, and jobs has moved out for different reasons and has lost their home, you know, the home crisis that we've had. So homeless has a different phase than yesteryears. So there are many homeless people right here in Greenville. Although we are a city with approximately 50,000 plus people, you know, the less people, probably the less problem. But we have homeless here. We see an increase in homeless people. Day by day, you go to the store, you see somebody standing out, you know, asking for assistance. And you have to be moved by the Spirit, whether you're going to help or whether this person is playing some type prank or just trying to get something for nothing. But yes, homeless is a crisis here, mm-hmm. and right here in the Delta, mm-hmm. in Greenville, Mississippi.
If you would estimate it, now back in Los Angeles, at any given time, on any given night in the county of Los Angeles, it's from 80 to 100,000 homeless people that sleep in the streets. How many in relationship to Greenville, Mississippi, would you estimate?
Well, to give you an accurate answer to that, I can only tell you what I have seen, or those mm-hmm. that I have come in contact with. And looking at it from that angle, I said 50 to 100 that I know
mm-hmm.
that
here,
are homeless here right here in Greenville mm-hmm. on the street that I've come in contact with. But I'm for sure it's many, many more. Mm-hmm. But you can't be everywhere at the same time. But those mm-hmm. that I've come in contact with, mm-hmm. 100 plus, 50 to 100 plus.
Okay. Now, let's get into the, because I know one aspect of the homeless situation is veterans who end up homeless for a number of reasons and all that kind of stuff. First of all, I know you're a military veteran also. Can you tell us a little about your military experience, when you was in, what branch you was in, et cetera, like that?
In 1971, I was drafted into the military. Now it's all volunteer army. Back then, you received a notice in the mail saying, Uncle Sam want you. And that's what I received while I was living in Detroit, Michigan. So I had to come back to Mississippi and go where I had registered. And I end up coming back to Mississippi, going to Fort Polk, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I was among the last of the draftees. I never will forget it. They took our pictures at the reception station. Which, what am I saying? After I got drafted, they cut the draft out. Mm-hmm. And it went into an all-volunteer military service. And being drafted in that particular time, I went to the military. I really went to the military to try to escape segregation.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out that once I entered the military, that segregation was right there, a part of the military, just like in civilian life.
Mm-hmm. Same kind of segregation that you had found in Mississippi at that time.
Yeah, well, we was in the root of segregation. Back in that time, you had colored water fountain, you had white water fountain. You had colored restroom, you had white restroom, mm-hmm. and it was legal throughout the land. Mm-hmm. I can recall the time when Afro-American police officer could not arrest a white man. Mm-hmm. Would have to call for a white man to come and make the arrest, and 9 times out of 10, when the white man came, he allowed the other white person to go
mm-hmm.
without being punished for whatever they may have done.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. We talked a little earlier about a large portion of the homeless population. We find veterans that end up homeless. What is the main reason, the major reason of these veterans that end up homeless?
Well, I'm glad that they have started to look at veterans from a point of view that everybody that is in a war zone or have been over in a war zone, especially participating in a war zone, that it plays a long-term effect on their life.
Mm-hmm.
Post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
Years back, they wasn't looking into that. They would call you in, let you serve your time, and then just discharge you right back out into civilian life. Mm-hmm. And a change has to take place. By mm-hmm. me being a veteran, I had to experience that change. And mm-hmm. I had to adapt to that change after I was discharged. For example, while you're in the military, you're trained to protect yourself and kill the enemy. You're trained to love your weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained to discharge your firearm. But once you release from the military, then the law, civilian laws are different. You're not even allowed to carry a firearm. So mm-hmm. there's just some of the changes that mm-hmm. take place. And the main thing, being traumatized,
mm-hmm.
to watch a buddy fall in battle, to watch anybody die in front of you, takes a long-term effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
And at any time, although you can surface and try to hold it down, but at any time, this stuff can surface back up mm-hmm. and cause you to react or do something you wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But most time, it's either mental or post-traumatic stress or something that you have went through that traumatized you and you never dealt with it. And instead of getting better, it's getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you are, have served your country, and now you're in civilian life. And you're not capable of really managing your things or accomplishing your goals. So mm-hmm. I think that's why a lot of the vets find themselves out on the street and homeless.
Mm-hmm.
They have nobody to actually guide them and help them make that transition back into civilian life.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. One of the things that we've been trying to push in Los Angeles in relationship to the homeless, because we believe that the religious community have a responsibility to the homeless population. So what we've been trying to push, especially in relationship to all of the, in Los Angeles have a lot of empty houses because of the foreclosure thing. And we've been trying to push the religious organization, the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews, the Jewish organization, to go out and either buy some of this property or rent some of this property and move some of these homeless people in and start trying to develop some programs and try to reintegrate them into their community. Do you think something like that is possible down here in Greenville too?
Yeah, it's possible from the that point of view, from the religious point of view, but also I just believe that it also can be a city or state issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, we have a lot of foreclosure and dilapidated houses right here in Greenville, just sitting down, rotting away, and over a number of years, it belongs to the city or it belongs to the state. And before they give it to somebody, they come and tear it down, use demolition to tear it down, and just left with an empty lot. But majority of the time, the house just sit, and it become an eyesore. One thing in the Afro-American community in the South Delta, there has been a loss of hope. We can walk outside and look in our community. We don't have anything to encourage us that we can do better than what we're doing. Because as we look throughout our community, instead of the community improving, it's beginning to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So that loss of hope is there. But it would be great if we could, you might not, from a religious point of view, because various size of congregation,
mm-hmm,
and types of membership that may belong to a per se congregation, mm-hmm, you might not can take 15 or 20 houses, renovate them, and give them to the homeless, but surely we could take one,
mm-hmm,
and renovate it.
Mm-hmm.
And put a homeless person in there, and when that homeless person get in there, they would feel ownership. Mm-hmm. Now you wouldn't have to tell them to keep up their property. I'm for sure they'll show love in that property and keep it up, mm-hmm, and that'll bring the community back like it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, that would be a good thing.
Now let me close out with just a couple more questions. I want to ask you from a scriptorial point of view, what is the responsibility of the church, of the ministry, to the homeless? Is there anything, you know, is there a scriptorial that deals with the homeless, the obligations,
yeah,
of the church and the Christian community, the religious,
sure,
community, to the homeless?
Yeah. Oh, a scripture that come off the top of my head is the 25th chapter of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
When there's going to be a great separation of the sheep and the goat. And our relationship with man has a lot to do with our relationship with God. And in that 25th chapter of Matthew, the question was asked, said, I was hungry and you fed me not.
Mm-hmm.
I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, and you didn't come see me. And the question was asked, when did we do all this thing, Lord, those that did it? And then the response was, that which you have done unto the least, you've done it also unto me.
Mm-hmm.
So scriptural point of view, anybody that is religious, in order to be religious and love God, you got to love people. So whatever we do to the less fortunate, we're doing it also unto God, according, mm-hmm, to the scripture. So if we see a person in need, it is our scriptural duty is to try to assist that person in, mm-hmm, any way that we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. And this is Reverend Roosevelt Johnson. He's the pastor of the Evergreen Baptist Church here in Greenville, Mississippi, and he's also my brother. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Yeah. Great interview.